I encourage you to grab a copy of Scripture with me. Turn to Psalm 67. Psalm 67, we'll be looking at the entire chapter this evening together, where it says, to the choir master, with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. So Psalm 67, beginning at verse 1, it says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's turn to him now in prayer. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. For you made the heavens and the earth by your great power. And you have looked down upon us with compassion and have given your only Son to be our Savior and the Savior of the world. And you have given your Holy Spirit to abide with us and teach us your ways. Help us now, we pray, to have fellowship with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray for your guiding and revealing presence as we turn to study your words of life and grace. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. For those of you with observant eyes and ears, you may recognize, and it might be familiar to you, the first verse that we looked at this evening in chapter 67, verse 1, which says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Verse 1 is a revised and shortened version of the Aaronic blessing in the book of Numbers. The original blessing was given from God through Aaron the priest to Israel. And it said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. But with a slight twist in Psalm 67, the psalmist turns this pronouncement of blessing into a prayer and song from the perspective of the people. He writes, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. This is a perfect example of taking God's promises to us, holding fast to God's word to us, and even using God's word as a foundation and source for our worship. We are utterly dependent upon God to graciously bless us and make his face to shine upon us because he is the source of all blessing. And the foundation of God's blessing to his people is seen throughout Scripture in his presence with his people. This is seen in the shining of God's face upon his people, or causing the light of his countenance to be upon his people. One commentator said and summarized God's face shining upon his people and saying that God shining among his people is a sign of his favor and his fellowship. The shining of God's face is symbolic of his presence, his blessing, His provision, His protection, His leading, and ultimately the shining of His face reminds us of His powerful salvation for His people. And as you can see in this psalm, and maybe you could attest to this in your personal life, in your personal experience, the appropriate response to God and His blessing to us is worshipful praise. The psalm is looking forward in prayerful anticipation to the day when all nations of the earth will worship the Lord in thanksgiving, gladness, and reverence. And this worship is brought about through God bringing blessing to His people so that they might bring God's blessing to the nations. The psalm is a prayer for God's blessing, ultimately for the praise and glory of God. But it also has another purpose, and that purpose is a prayer for blessing that we might be a blessing to others. This concept of being a channel of God's grace is founded upon His promise to Abraham. In Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So not only is the psalmist praying and singing according to the Aaronic blessing and requesting God's grace and shining favor, but the psalmist is praying for the outworking and advancement of God's promise to Abraham and asking for God's blessing. God did not intend the light of His blessing to be hidden under a basket, but rather Israel was to reflect the brilliance of God's glory to the nations. The psalm is a song and prayer in requesting that God would accomplish His divine purposes through blessing His people. Firstly, we see that we ask for blessing so that the nations would know God's power. Secondly, in the psalm, we see that the nations would see God's blessing and see and rejoice in His reign. And third, that the nations would fear Him. All the nations would know God's saving power, rejoice in His reign, and fear Him. Beginning in verse 2 of chapter 67, we see the first purpose in God's blessing to His people is that your way may be known on earth, your saving power to all nations. And in the Old Testament context during which the psalm was written, the great display of God's saving power would have immediately come to mind as the Exodus, God's deliverance of Israel from slavery and bringing them into the promised land. This was the greatest display of God's redeeming and saving power up until the time of Christ. But today, as New Testament readers, we look back at an even greater display of God's divine power to save His people. That is, Christ's resurrection from the dead and exaltation to the right hand of the Father. This is God's immeasurable power on display, both in the Exodus redemption story and in God's redemption for us accomplished in Christ. All nations can come to know God's saving power and turn to praise and thank Him in worship. The second purpose in our prayer for blessing from God is so that the nations will rejoice in God's reign. Beginning in verse 4 of the psalm, the psalmist writes, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth." I read a news article recently about an accountant who owed tens of thousands of dollars in unpaid taxes to the government. And after an investigation, the IRS sent an agent to investigate more. And they found where the accountant had intentionally underreported and underpaid on his taxes. Well, what's the reasonable thing to do if you're caught guilty? Well, if you're this accountant, there's no doubt in your mind that the reasonable thing to do is to attempt to bribe the IRS agent who's on the case with an enticement of a fancy wristwatch and a couple thousand dollars to turn and look the other way and ignore the crime that has been committed. But that's not what happened. This is just one example of countless attempts to pervert justice. For every positive story like this one, one good and proper and impartial use of authority, there are an abundance of contrary examples of authorities not acting with integrity and justice. But in contrast, we see in the psalm that when the nations witness the perfect reign of a holy God, this causes abundant joy and gladness. For God does not show partiality or is not swayed by a bribe of a fancy watch and some cash. He does not show favoritism and neglect justice and righteousness. For he is our holy God. He is impeccably and perfectly administering justice and ruling even now according to his holy character. And this sense of justice and fairness, when it's lacking in our lives, we recognize it. And because all people are made in the image of God, both believer and unbeliever alike, the pain of injustice resonates with us. But the good news here is that this motivates God's goodness, his holiness, motivates all nations to rejoice in God's reign, and that he rules with equity and fairness. In addition to judging and ruling and administering justice among the nations, God guides the people of the earth. He guides the nations of the earth. The nations should be glad and sing for joy because God has not left us in the dark to try and figure out what pleases him. But God is like a shepherd of the nations and guiding and leading us. Psalm 23 pictures this concept in saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." By God's grace, he leads us by his law, his perfect law. But not only that, he empowers his people by his indwelling spirit to walk according to his law. And this is a double blessing for us. And by grace, we bear fruit as he guides us to walk in love, joy, and peace, and all the fruits of his divine spirit. So the psalmist repeats again verse 3 in verse 5. "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." And in this repetition, we see the psalmist highlight the driving heart of the psalm. Let all peoples praise you, O God. In this psalm, we pray for God to show us his grace and to bless us, and to show his favor to us and fellowship with us, so that first the nations would know God's saving power and rejoice. Secondly, that the nations would rejoice in God's uncorrupted reign over all his creation. And in verses 6 and 7, we see that all people should not only joyfully worship him, but all nations should also fear him. Beginning in verse 6, the psalmist calls to our attention to direct it back to God and what he has done and what he will do. Verse 6 reflects on past blessings that the Israelites have enjoyed. The earth yielding its increase, or a fruitful harvest, was a result of God's covenant blessings for his people. And in meditating on God's past provision, this inspires confidence and faith in the reality of God's future blessings, which is expressed in verse 6, saying, "The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us." But what is the psalmist's confidence in God's blessing? What is the guarantee of his blessing for them and for us? The only confidence we can have in God's blessing is ultimately founded upon his promise. Although the Aaronic blessing is explicitly referenced at the beginning of the psalm, God's covenant with Abraham is a foundational framework and covenantal backdrop for the psalm. As I read earlier, God promised Abraham, "I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Apart from God's gracious promise to us and in blessing Abraham and his offspring, we can have no ground to claim God's blessing. And in Galatians 3, the Apostle Paul further clarifies how exactly the Gentiles, that is, all the nations, are to share in the blessing that Abraham received by writing, "In Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." For those who are united to Christ by faith, there is no longer separation or distinction of Jew or Gentile. There's neither slave nor free. Paul says that there's no male and female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Also in Ephesians 1, Paul writes, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Those blessings are not secondary. He says every spiritual blessing. They aren't little Gentile, crummy, hand-me-down second blessings. No, God the Father blessed both Jews and Gentiles in Christ, those who are in Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. All of his children around the world are united and thankful praise to God the Father through God the Son by the unifying power of God the Spirit as a result of his promise that was first made to our father Abraham. So far, we have seen that God will bless his people so that all the earth will praise God when they, one, know his saving power, and two, rejoice in his reign. And lastly, in verse 7, the psalmist writes, "God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him." God continues to bless his people so that the nations will fear and honor him. This type of fear is not a negative fear, but it's a faith-filled fear, a holy and reverent fear of God. And seeing the blessings of God toward God's people, the fear that we pray all people will experience towards God is a positive fear. This same word and concept is used in Leviticus 19, in a command to a child, that a child ought to fear his or her parents. A child should fear the authority of his loving parents, not out of negative fear of abuse or some other violence, but this fear ought to be a positive fear of respect, honor, and even reverence. So too, in a greater way, we ought to fear the Lord because of his saving power and sovereign rule over us. When the nations fear, rightly respect, and honor God for who he is and what he has done for us, then and only then can all people begin to properly praise God. When the nations hear the good news of the gospel and God's blessing to us in Christ Jesus, the only proper response is thank-filled, joyful, and fearful worship and obedience. Is this your response? Are you interested or not interested in worshiping God, your Creator? If you do not know Christ today, I want you to know this. What Paul writes and tells us in Philippians 2, that Christ Jesus, who though he was born, or though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Christ took the curse and judgment that we deserve so that we can enjoy God's blessing. The blessing of forgiveness of sins, the righteousness of Jesus given to us, adoption, eternal life, and fellowship with God. This is God's shining face upon us. And by faith, we can experience the blessing of God. But this relationship with our holy God is only possible if you repent from your sin and believe in Jesus as your King and Savior. Will you turn to him today? Looking back at Philippians 2, the good news continues. Jesus did not stay in the tomb after his death on the cross, for he rose from the dead. And Paul says that God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And as John Piper said, missions exist because worship doesn't. Missions exist because worship doesn't. And that's the heart of Psalm 67. We pray and sing to God, requesting that he will graciously bless us so that we will be a blessing to the nations for his glory. We are shown grace and blessing in Christ that we may be instruments of God's grace and blessing to the nations. This is shown in living out of the gospel and sacrificially giving of our time, our money, and giftedness and service of others. But ultimately, our love for the nations must also be expressed in the preaching of the gospel of Christ to all people. Making disciples of all nations is the mission of Christ's church. And if we fail in this area, we have failed in fulfilling God's purpose for us as a church. So may God bless us more and more so that all the nations will know his saving power, rejoice in his reign, and fear him as God. For we desire that all peoples of the earth will praise God when we sing, O God, let all the peoples praise you.